Your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter number one tonight. Philippians, chapter number one, and I want to share some thoughts with you out of that scripture tonight. Philippians, chapter number one. I'm afraid I'll get Obed-itis. Would you take care of that? All right. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have done that. If you see what I've seen water across America on pulpits, you would do that too. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, good to see you tonight. I've enjoyed the service tonight and good singing tonight by the choir. I enjoyed that good singing. Looked over my wife and I said, our choir, it's a good song. Our choir needs to learn that song, amen. And good singing tonight and my wife singing, Paquette family singing, what a blessing. Then Brother Obed, he makes me want to go to India. And I'm glad our church has a part of that ministry. And it makes me want to raise his support, amen. And tell me after service how much we support you. And I'm serious about that. And I appreciate the ministry, what God's doing through this good, good men of God. And you ought to invest in the right things in this world. If you invest in the stock market, you're probably going to get disappointed. But I want to tell you, when you invest in the work of God, man, that was great tonight. I enjoyed that tonight. That was great. Good to be here tonight. I've enjoyed today. We had a good day, good preaching all day long, and I've enjoyed a good day. Philippians chapter number one tonight, I want to share a thought with you. I want to say this before I read it. It's good to see Brother Robert Smith. Brother Robert Smith has been down in Brazil now for 30-some years, built several works there, done a great work for God, and good to have him with us tonight. He's one of Macedonia's men, and he's come in to spy out our liberty. And I want him to go back and tell them we're up here worshiping God. Trying to reach a world with the gospel, and there's not one jealous bone in our body. Amen. So good to have Brother Smith tonight. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Man, you've done sung and talked my text and sung it all night already, but let's look at it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Thank you, brother. Being confident of this very thing. He that which have begun a good work in you will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all and the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, and knowledge and in all judgment. Look at verse number 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and glory and praise of God. And I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds or my chains or my bonds or my handcuffs, that's what he's talking about, but so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For the sake of time, look at verse 21. So now, look at that part of verse 20. So now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labor. Yea, what I choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between... That's a strange statement, by the way. That's a very strange statement. We'll come back to it in a minute. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better for you. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open the good Word of God again tonight and begin to read it tonight, Lord, I realize again tonight where I stand, man certainly cannot stand alone. Lord, I'd be a fool to come on the platform tonight to try to preach tonight and try to show what I know tonight, because I know nothing apart from Thee. And I pray, Lord, that You'll help us again tonight in the service. Lord, I thank You for yesterday and all that You've done yesterday. Lord, I thank You for what You've done today. It's been a great day. And we praise You and we thank You for it. But I realize this is a different time. This is a different service. And I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God tonight. And Lord, do that mighty, mighty work that needs to be done again tonight in the service. Lord, I pray that You'll illuminate our mind that we might think right tonight. Lord, I pray You'll give us power and You'll instruction tonight and use us tonight for the glory of God. Guide our thoughts tonight, Lord, and show us tonight what we need to say and give us everything we need in the service tonight. Most of all, if there's somebody here lost tonight, Father, I pray the Holy Ghost will finger around their heart how they'll be drawn by the power of God and saved by the grace of God, even in the service tonight. Challenge our hearts now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending. You can be seated tonight. I want to take these verses I read tonight, and we're going to walk right back down to them as I preach tonight. And I want to preach tonight on Paul's unusual request. One of the most unusual requests in the Word of God. It's mentioned right here in Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to see it in just a minute. Before I show it to you tonight, let me just say this tonight. I love studying the book of Philippians. It's one of my favorite books of the New Testament. It's one of Paul's five prison epistles. And when you study the New Testament, you'll find that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote about half of the New Testament. And five of those books that he wrote them while he was in jail. And the Church of Philippi, and of course the letter here to the Church of Philippi, it was wrote while Paul was in jail. It's one of his prison epistles tonight. And when you study the book of Philippians tonight and the Church of Philippi tonight, you'll find it's probably one of the greatest mission-minded churches in all the Word of God. Sunday night at my church, I preached out Philippians chapter 4. And you know what Philippians chapter 4 is? It isn't a thing in the world but a thank you letter from a missionary to a church. That's exactly what it is. I enjoyed preaching on it Sunday night. Sunday night in chapter 4, we saw the fellowship of missions. And how that Paul and the church of Philippi was co-laborers together. We saw the fellowship of missions in chapter 4. At chapter 4 Sunday night, we saw the fruit of missions. And he said his fruit abounded in your account. Sunday night I talked to him about the finance submissions. Paul said, that gift that you give me while I was on that second missionary trip. Sunday night, verse 18, I talked about the fragrance of missions. How do you smell this evening? The fragrance of missions. Sunday night also out of that chapter, I talked about the friend of missions. But my God, hold my mule while I shout. Shall supply all your, and I talked about that. And then, of course, I talked about the fulfillment of missions out of chapter 4. And when you study this book tonight, and the church of Philippi tonight, is probably the greatest mission-minded church in all the Word of God. It's a great church for three reasons. First of all, it was a great church because of its origin. It didn't start out of a split. It didn't start out of a splitter, but it started out of an old-fashioned prayer meeting down by the riverside. It was a great church because of its origin. It was a great church because of its operation. You say, what do you mean? They were mission-minded. They were mission-minded. Matter of fact, Paul said this to them, ye have done well. It's one thing for me to say you're doing well, but it's quite another thing when Paul says you're doing well. He said, you've done well. It was great because of its origin. It was great because of its outcome. Hey, you know what? It had fruit about in this account. And it was a great, great church. And when you study the book of Philippians tonight and study this letter here to this church tonight, you'll find there's several good truths here that Paul writes about. And chapter number 1, he writes about the philosophy for Christian living. Paul said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. That's a good philosophy to live by. That's a good philosophy to live by. At chapter number 2, he writes about the pattern for Christian living. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And chapter number 3, he writes about the prize for Christian living. He said, I press towards that prize of the mark of the high calling. At chapter number 4, he writes about the power of Christian living. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And it's a wonderful letter here when you study the book of Philippians tonight. But don't you notice something out of these verses I read? Look at verse 21 and 22. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's pretty good stuff right there. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Look at the next verse. But if I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labor. Yea, what I choose, I want not. That's a strange statement. What I'm getting ready to choose, that's not what I want. Look at the verse. How what I choose I won't know. For I am in a strait between two, having the desire to part and be with Christ, I wish is far, far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. That's a strange statement tonight. Look at me. We're doing everything we can to stay here. You say, I'm not? Well, throw your medicine away. You say, I'm not? Well, quit going to the doctor. You say, I'm not? Well, quit going to the specialist. Hello? You say, I'm not? Well, quit taking care of yourself. You say, I'm not? Well, quit taking fish oil. Everybody takes fish oil. Huh? You say, I'm not? Well, quit taking thyroid medicine. You say, I'm not? Well, quit taking whatever medicine you take. You see, Paul's doing everything he can to get out of here, and you and I are doing everything we can to stay here. That's a strange statement. And Paul's unusual request. I read this again this week, and I said to myself, that's strange. Here you and I are doing everything we can to stay here. And here this man of God's doing everything he can to get out of here. Hey, are you listening to me? And there's something behind that request. Hey, something moving this man and motivating this man to cause him to have such a testimony like that. And for just a few minutes, I want to examine the verses I read tonight. And I want you to look at Paul's unusual request. He could have that kind of request for four reasons. And I'll give them to you quickly. First of all, I want to say he could have that kind of request, first of all, because of his faith. Look in verse number 6. Bible said, be it, and I just about want to shout before I read it. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul can make that statement because of his faith. How Paul is saying, I know there's no question about it. I know, thank God, there's no question about it. I know there's no question about it. And my daddy used to say there ain't one thing better than being saved, and that's saved know it. And I'll tell you something about it. He can make this statement because of his faith. Notice, first of all, the confidence of his faith. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. Paul said, there's no question about it. How it is settled, it's confirmed, it's settled. There's no question. I know in whom I have believed. Hallelujah. I know that my name is in glory tonight. That thing is confirmed in my soul. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. That's why Paul could have this here request. You see the confidence of his faith. And get on to say this tonight. We need to know that. There's no question about that. I'm telling you down in my soul, I'm glad I know. I'm so based on the Word of God. I know in whom I have believed. I know where I'm going if I die tonight. I read a story some years ago about this preacher and this chaplain was visiting the battlefield during the Korean War on a Christmas Eve and come up on this soldier. His leg had been blown off. One of his hands had been blown off. And it was just obvious he was going to be dead in just a few minutes. And how when the chaplain and the preacher looked at the soldier, they saw that he had a smile on his face. They saw that he had a faraway look in his eye. And they just couldn't understand that until they looked down at his other hand. And that was the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 14. And in verse number 27, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, thank God Paul knowed who he had believed. You see the confidence of his faith. But also in that verse tonight, I don't see the confidence of his faith. I see the Christ of his faith. Being confident of this very thing. Say it with me. Being confident of this very thing. Who started it? Help me. Who started it? He started it. Salvation's of the Lord. Hey, he found you one day. You didn't find God. He found you. Yes, sir. You weren't looking for God. You was a sinner lost without God. But thank God one day. Oh, yes, one day. Thank God he come a looking where I was and found me. Oh, I see the confidence of his faith. I see the Christ of his faith. Being confident of this very thing. He. If I was so dignified, I'd shout, He which had begun a good work. You see the confidence of his faith. You see the cross of his faith. But then you see the consummation of his faith. Being confident of this very thing. He which had begun a good work in you, he'll consummate it, he'll perform it, he'll finish it. I won't tell you, praise God, today I got saved. I'm telling you I was already saved. It's this house in heaven right there. He'll finish, thank God, what he started. Has it ever dawned on you you're going to heaven? Huh? You might get drunk through 10 brush piles getting there, but you're going. Hey, I'm telling you this evening, if you're saved, hey, you're going to heaven for him. Oh, the consummation of his faith. He said, I know who's going to finish this. I don't want to preach much on that point. I want to get to my other point. First of all, Paul had this unusual request and said, hey, man, I don't want to stay here. I'd rather go be with the Lord. He had that request first of all because of his faith. But then notice something else about this. You don't only see you see his faith, but notice something else. In verse 8 and 9, I see his faithfulness. And by the way, while I'm on that, faith is the foundation of missions. You won't do much in missions without faith. But notice number 2, Paul had this request not only because of his faith, but then number 2, because of his faithfulness. I like this. Look in your Bible. The Bible said in chapter number 1 and verse number 8, Paul says in verse 8, watch this right here. How Paul said, for my God is my record, how greatly I long after you all, and the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. Hey, notice first of all tonight, the place of his faith, the position of his faith. He said, I have you in my heart. You see, that was the position of his faith tonight. It was in his heart. One of the hardest things I've ever tried to do in my life, preacher, is try to get Baptist folk to be faithful to the things of God that's not in their heart. You can give them a hot dog, you can give them a hamburger, you can give them a cheeseburger, you can give them a steak. Hey, you can do everything you want to do. But if it's not in their heart, they won't do it long. Hello, I'm preaching good. I said, if it's not in their heart, they won't do it long. At the position of his faith, Paul said, it's in my heart. Thank God, listen to me tonight. Oh, listen tonight. Hey, Paul, I could say that because of his faithfulness. The position of his faithfulness, it was in his heart. And can I just say this tonight? There's a lot of things I'll never do. I'm a little bit jealous of that brother that got up here last night, Brother Mayo. Y'all see him. He walked over and picked up a microphone and bless God, just sung a sheetrock off the walls. I don't like people that can do that. And these preachers that can preach, my son-in-law can preach, sing, write songs, play any instrument in the world. I never have liked him too good. And these preachers, I can't do any of that stuff. And it's a joke when I said what I said a while ago about me singing with my wife. Of course, I know, there's another one of them right there. Man, he can play a piano. He can sing. He can preach. It ain't right. It's not. I can't do that. I love bluegrass music. I love bluegrass music. I went one day going to buy me a brand new, I didn't buy a used one. I went and bought a brand new 5-string banjo. Wife was with me. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying a banjo. I'm going to learn to pick this thing. She just stood over in the corner and kind of doing like this the whole time. I bought that banjo and brought it home. And I looked down that late at my bedroom. And I looked down at it about every 2-3 days. And I said, boy, I'm going to learn to pick you. How am I going to learn to do it? And there once in a while, I'd run my fingers across that thing. And I'm going to learn to do it. You know, that thing laid there about 3 or 4 months. One day, a church God preacher come by, and he knew how to play it, and he's working on a piano at church, and he knew how to play it. He got it out, and I got him play 2 or 3 songs on it. Who wants you to want to know how to tell him to play? Would it be all right if he plays a Wildwood Flower just a little bit? How about going up Cripp Creek, going in a run, going up Cripp Creek to have a little fun? Amen! You say, he played that on your banjo. He sure did, and I enjoyed every bit of it. And every day, I'd say to myself, I'm going to learn to pick that banjo. One day, old boy come by. had a 270 rifle. I believe every saved man likes to deer hunt. And he had a 270 rifle. He saw that badger and I saw that rifle. Hello! If you'll come to my office at Northwood, you'll see the results of the badger hanging on the wall. Everybody, I'll never sing. I'll never pick a banjo. I'll never play a piano. But I'll tell you what I can do. By the grace of God, I can be faithful. Well, the position Paul set us in my heart. In my heart, that's where it was at. Oh, by the grace of God, let's stand the staff, thank God, and just be faithful for the glory of God. I was reading through the Bible some time ago, and I read Ezekiel 24, where Ezekiel's wife dies in the morning, but in the afternoon, he's right back doing the same thing. You say, what's that mean? I mean, she dies in the morning, and he's preaching in the evening. That's pretty good faithfulness. Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, you see the position of his faithfulness. You see the product of his faithfulness. Look at verse 7 again. He says in verse number 7, look at this verse. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, how for as much I have in my heart. That's his position. That faithfulness was in his heart, and so much in both in my bonds and the defense of the gospel. And you are partakers. Hey, listen to me now. That's the product of his faithfulness. He said you're partakers of it. That's the product of it tonight. Hey, if you'll just be faithful, whether it's in the house of God or on a mission field, thou will be a product of it. Oh, yes, sir. And I want to say this evening, that Paul said, man, I'd rather go there and go here. I'd rather go there than stay here. He can say that because of his faithfulness. He can say that because of his faith. But I want to get to my favorite part of this message. Notice next thing. Not only he had that unusual request because of his faith, that's foundation of missions. Because his faithfulness, that's the furtherance of missions. But he could say that also because of his fruit. Look at verse 11. Paul said, being filled with a what? I like that. Look at verse number 22. Bible said in verse number 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Philippians chapter number 4, Paul said, it's not that I want your offering. It's not that I desire your gift or your offering, but I desire fruit that it might abound to your account. Hey, I'll tell you tonight, he had that kind of testimony not only because of his faith, not only because of his faithfulness, but because of his fruit. Oh, he had fruit, friend. I'll tell you something tonight. Oh, listen to me. Hey, just have fruit. When you got faith and got faithfulness, guess what? When you got faith and faithfulness, you're going to have fruit. And I'll just say this right quick before I get to what I want to say. I love having fruit. Oh, man, I thought about tonight while Brother Obed was giving that testimony. Those 600 people, they got saved when Brother Shoemaker was at your place or over at your place or wherever your place is. Your place is going to be bigger than China before long. Did you know that? India's growing. And I thought about those 600 people, Brother Obed. And I thought about those churches you talked about and all those people that you minister to daily. Every time somebody in India gets saved by the grace of God because of Indian missions and ministry, that little offering that we send you every month, God up in glory, God up in glory, goes right over on Northwood's side and said, that's some of you. Put that on their account. They helped him out with that. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy, happy, happy. Hey, I want to tell you, there's nothing in the world like having fruit abounding to your account. I'm telling you, this seed of Paul had that unusual request because of his fruit. Oh, he was seeing people saved, and because of his fruit. Listen to me tonight. That's what we ought to want to see tonight. Fruit abounded to our account. Notice the, first of all, the providence of his fruit. Look at verse 12. I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which are happening unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Notice the providence of his fruit. Paul didn't get put in jail because he's having a bad day. Paul didn't get get put in jail because... Somebody said, well, dear God, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Paul ain't living by luck theology. I know some Baptists that do, but Paul don't. I was riding down the road some time ago with a Baptist preacher. And there's a black cat run across the road in front of us. And you know what that ding-a-ling done? I looked over and I said, what in the devil are you doing to my windshield? He said, preacher, did you not see that cat? I started to say, it's Cracker Jack out. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah, I'm sure he was serious about that. I'm not living by luck theology. No, I'm not living by some crazy superstitious stuff. Are you listening to me? I don't have a horseshoe over my door. It don't bother me to go out another door from the one I come in. Hey, Paul said, listen to me. Hey, the fruit there, it was a providence of his fruit. He didn't get put in jail because he's having a bad day. Look at verse number 12. He says in verse number 12, I would that you should understand, brethren, the things which are happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. I'm in here for a reason. God, the providence of his fruit, God's got you right where he wants you. You say, well, I'm not doing anything. He probably ain't going to move you till you bloom where you planted. You're not where you're at by accident. God, hello, I'm preaching good. God has got you right where he wants you. Serve him. Give him your best. Be faithful. Thou be fruit where you're at. The providence of his fruit. He said, I want you to understand. This is for the furtherance of the gospel. These things that's happened to me here, it's not that I'm having a bad day. God's got me right where he wants. I'm glad I believe Romans 8:28. I cannot explain it. I cannot always understand and explain it. But I know it's always in the Bible and I know it's always true. The providence of his fruit. And Paul said, these things that's happened unto me is for the furtherance of the gospel. You see the providence of his fruit. But then you see the place of his fruit. He's in jail. Notice these verses right here. Notice again in verse number 12 and 13. I would that you understand, brother, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather than furtherance of the gospel. Now look at this next verse. So that my bonds, look it up. I got a large print Bible. I don't have my Scofield. I don't know if Scofield's got it or not. This large print Bible's got it. You say, well, I ain't got a large print Bible. Give you three guesses. First two don't count. Falling out rather than the fellowship of God. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds and my large print Bible, it's the word chains, the reference. Paul said, the providence and the place of my fruit. These so that my bonds in Christ are manifested. And all the palace, that's Caesar's palace. And all the palace and all the other places. So many of the brethren in the Lord may wax confident by my chains and my bonds. And are much more bold to speak of the word without. When they see these chains, when they see these bonds, these things are not just happening. Can I do a little illustration? Brother Smith, will you help me preach this a little bit? Come up here. Stay right there. Can I borrow that bell? I would highly recommend take this hand. There you go. Hold it right there. I want to show you what happened to Paul. I'm Paul. He's a guard. Who am I? Who's that? So that my bonds in Christ are manifested in the palace, Caesar's palace. This ain't gonna work. Paul was right-handed. Which is my right hand? This is my right hand. This is going
to work. You got me confused.
I don't normally do this.
Praise God. You're watching, Miss Jane.
Look at these chains. The providence of his fruit, the place of his fruit. So that my bonds in Christ are manifested. Oh, Paul sitting there in that jail cell. He's taking that pen, writing down that word of God, writing him letters to them churches. And he's sitting there writing him letters. And by the way, if you'd have seen him, I really believe this. I believe he was small of stature. I believe I'm proving that. I know he had physical problems. I know that. And I really, really probably believe he probably had an eye problem. Probably had a pair of glasses on about as thick as a Coca-Cola bottle. I might be pretty close to right. And while he's sitting in our providence of his fruit, the place of his fruit, he's sitting in there writing them letters. Wrote five of them letters to Ephesus and Philippi and Colossians and Philemon and 2 Timothy and them letters he wrote in jail. He's sitting in there in them bonds, chained to that prison, chained to that guard. He's sitting there writing them letters. And all of a sudden, when I squeeze your hand, ask me what I'm writing. While he's sitting there writing them letters, chained to those prisoners, all of a sudden, that guard says,
"What are you writing there, Paul?"
Did Judge get it on the back row? Say it loud.
"What are you doing? What are you writing there, Paul?"
Here's what Paul did. He laid his parchment down and laid his pen down. Looked over at that guard and said, "I'm going to tell you in just a minute what I'm writing. But before I tell you, can I tell you what happened on the road to Damascus?" His faith! The providence of his fruit, the place of his fruit.
Well, you're writing our Bible.
You say them guards didn't get saved. I say they did get saved. You read Philippians chapter number 4. Salute the saints of Caesar. You know who that crowd is? That's that crowd Paul won to God while he's sitting there writing them letters.
Amen.
And watch this. Don't go to her. Watch this. Every 4 hours they change guards. And one guard comes out. Watch this. When this guard comes out, look what the next guard says to him. "What happened to you in there? What happened to you in there?
What happened to you in there?"
Amen. That guard comes out with a faraway look in his eye, and a smile on his face, and a shout in his soul.
Hey. Amen.
Then the next guard comes in. "You're supposed to chain me. I'm a prisoner." Don't get too carried away with me. Second guard. Second, the end to the fifth hour.
"What you writing there, Paul?"
"Before I tell you what I'm writing, would you mind if I tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus? And son, I want to tell you about three and a half hours later, he goes out. And when he goes out, another meets him. And as he starts out and the other meets him, when the other meets him, he turns and goes back to the boss man and said, 'Man, that's the second one come out of there. What's going on in there in that cell? I don't know if I want to go in there or not. What's going on in there?' And I'd hear the one that just come out and said, 'It's all right, just go on in there, he'd be all right.' And I'd see him as he sits there. 'I'm going to run if you don't come.' He didn't have chain, Paul. He wasn't going nowhere. The providence of his fruit, the place of his fruit. Are you listening to it? Paul wasn't in there just to be in there. And I'll tell you something about that. I got thinking about this today. Don't go to work. Paul didn't cuss his bonds and his chains. Paul didn't fuss about where God had planted him. Paul just bloomed where he was planted. Paul didn't jump up and down about the bonds and the chains and whom he was chained. He didn't fuss about that. You know what most of us do? We cuss what helps us the most. You're not where you're at by accident. You'll say, dear God, I wish I could get, man, I'd give anything if I had another job. Well, are you blooming where you planted? Just bloom where you planted. God's got you there for a reason. Lord, I'm preaching good and y'all looking at me strange. Those bonds, those chains, God got you chained right where he wants you. You just bloom where you're planted. I have had a question the other day about a missionary. And I called this missionary his pastor. Has nothing to do with this church, has nothing to do with this mission board, has nothing to do with Macedonia World Baptist Mission. But I called this guy's pastor because I had some question marks about some stuff that he'd put in a prayer letter. And I called his pastor. Now, I've never met the pastor, wanting to know if he walked in the door. He was a Christian gentleman. And I said, preacher, you don't know me, but this missionary is out of your church and I want to ask you some questions. He said, okay. He's the nicest, most polite pastor I've ever talked to in my life. And it was not what he said that moved on my heart to drop that missionary is what he didn't say. I said, does, when this brother's at home, does he come to your church? Brother Barker, where'd you say you're from? I said, preacher, is he tithed to your church? He says, out of the weather, North Carolina. I said, does he go on visit? Y'all looking to be strange. Does he go on visitation at his home church when he's at home? Preacher, how many children you got? Does he? And I have young preachers come up to me quite often and want me to recommend them somewhere. And I always say, what are you doing in your home church? Does your home church have a visitation? Oh yeah, they have a visitation. Your home church have a bus ministry? Oh yeah, they have a bus ministry. Your home church have a nursing home? Oh yeah, they go to nursing home preach. And in about 5 minutes, I say, hey man, how many fingers I got up? I'm talking to you, I ain't talking to them. What do you do? They're looking at me strange. You're never going to know where do you bloom, where you planted. Don't fuss about your bonds where God's got you planted. As long as you won't do nothing, you might stay there till you die. But when you, oh man, this is good preaching. When you bloom where you planted. Oh, I love it. I love it, man. Do me. You like holding my hand, don't you? You say, preacher, you've gone crazy. Read the Bible.
Tell me what you're writing, Paul.
He'll tell him too. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? I want to say this one more time. Bloom where you're planted. Just stay faithful right where God's put you tonight. Bloom where you're planted. Are you listening to me? We might do it again, man, but you can sit down right now. Bloom where you're planted. Stay faithful where God has put you. Are you listening to me? Don't fuss about the bonds and the chains and the places where God's put you. I thought about Fanny Cosby today. She didn't fuss about her bonds. She bloomed where she is planted. I thought about Suzanne Wesley today. I don't know how many children she had. Somebody tell me quick. And how she took care of them children. She didn't fuss about that. She just bloomed where God had planted her. She didn't fuss about her bonds. She didn't fuss about what she was tied to. Had an old boy come through my church years ago named Steve Allen. I don't know if he's still living or not. Steve Allen's from Indiana, blind as a bat. You know Steve Allen is still alive? Blind as a bat. Him and his wife are a blessing. Man, I'm telling you, they'll sing, they're a blessing. Hadn't seen him in 15 years. And old Steve, he don't fuss about his blindness. He'll make a joke about it. He'll say, I want you to go with him down to Ford Place. I'm going to try me out a new truck. I said, I ain't to take that. Are you there? He don't fuss about it. No, he don't. He don't jump up and down about his bonds, what he's tied to, and because he's that way. Had a missionary come to my church years ago. A fellow called me one day and he said, I'm so-and-so. My name's Jerry Mosher. I'm with New Testament Missions, New Testament Worldwide Missions years and years ago. He said, I'm a missionary. And I'm staying at Piedmont Bible College. And sometime if while I'm here on furlough, if there ever was to be an opportunity, I sure would like to come to your place. Holy Ghost said, have him. And I said, when can you come? And he told me. And I said, well, our service starts so-and-so, so-and-so. He said, well, preacher, I just got one request. I said, what is it? He said, can you come and pick us up? And what I didn't know was his wife was stone blind. He was legally blind. He read by Braille. He could not tell whether he was a man or a woman sitting right there. He could just see shadows and see shadows. He could see shadows. He could see the shadow of the pew. And I said, sure, I'd be glad. You don't have a car? He said, no, you just need to come get us. When I picked him up, I realized what the problem was. Legally blind. Miss Lori, she was stone blind. I have never met anybody who could play a piano the way that woman could play a piano. And I'm going to tell you something about him. He was a missionary in Nova Scotia, Canada. And his bonds that he was so tied to and his affliction that he was tied to. And listen to this. He had graduated and had two earned doctorate degrees and could teach history in any university in America. But God had called him to the mission field. And boy, he come to our church that night, and I never will forget him preaching. He said, I want to preach tonight on God to use what you got. He said, Moses had a rod. Said it was Moses' rod, a rod, God's rod. Said you need to give him. Lord, I never heard such a message in my life. You know how he visited? He visited on a motorboat in a big old lake in Nova Scotia, Canada. He could see the outline of the bank of the river and the lake, and he could see the houses, that is the shadow of the driveways that went up to the... Him and Lori visited in a boat like that. Did for years and built a great work. One day he ran up on a stump, busted it, tore the bottom out of it. Then he got a two-seater bicycle. And he could see the age of the road, the shadow, and he could see the driveway shadows. And the people in the church would take him 30 miles one way every day. Two-seater bicycle. He'd be on the front, Miss Lori'd be on the back. And he could see the shadow of the driveway. And when he'd come to a driveway, he would go up that driveway, make his way. Lori hanging on to him just like this. Making his way up that drive. Built one of the greatest, built tremendous works in Nova Scotia, Canada. He didn't fuss about his bonds. He bloomed, white planted. He didn't fuss about the chains and the afflictions. Oh, listen to me tonight. Man, God wants to use you right where you're at this evening. Paul's fruit tonight. The providence, the place. God will use. Oh, listen to me tonight. When I think about them chains and bonds that had Paul tied to them darts, he wasn't trying to pull away and get away. No. Amen. I got to close. I ain't got time to finish this. You see, Paul's faith tonight, that's why he had this unusual request. Paul's faithfulness, that's why he had this unusual request. Paul's fruit. That's why he had this unusual request. But last of all, he had his unusual request because of his future. Look in your Bible and I'm done. Bible said, look at the latter part of verse 20. And now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, really doesn't make too much difference to me. Paul's future. And notice the determination of his future in verse 20. He said, whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. I'm God's, I'm Christ's, I'll serve Him. Whether I live or die. That's a pretty good determination. His determination was, whether he lived or whether he died, he'd serve the Lord. Notice the determination of his future. Notice the desire of his future in verse 23. He said, but if I live in the flesh, it's the fruit of my labor. Yea, what I choose, I want not. He says, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart. Notice the desire of it. He said, I want to depart. That's a good word. That's the same word that's used in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered time of my departure. It's the same word. It means to break up camp, pull up the tent stakes. Yeah, that's what it means. It has the same meaning as breaking up camp. And you got a tent pitched, and comes time to leave, you pull up them tent stakes. Bless God, you're getting ready to shove off. Amen. It has the same meaning as a big old ship that's sitting in an harbor or sitting inside of a port getting ready to go out to high sea. They pull up the gangplank. They untie the ropes. Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. And shut off for you. Paul said the time of my departure. You see the desire of his future. You see the determination of his future. But in verse 24, you see the duty of his future. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Watch this and I'm done. For to me to live. And by the way, say that again. The duty of his future. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Are you hearing me? The duty of his future. Paul said, the reason I'm going to stay here, and the only reason I'm going to stay here is because of you. If I do what I want to do, I'm going to get out of this body of flesh. I'm going to get out of this body of suffering. But the duty of his future, he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Can we take a test before we go home? I love taking tests. My favorite thing to do all the 17 years I was in high school was to take tests. Matter of fact, I enjoyed taking tests so good I'd take the same one four or five times. Can I give you a test before we go home? I want to give you a test. Look in your Bible in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. Die is gain. For to me to live is. I want you to finish that sentence. For to me, here's the test. For to me to live is. Make $1 million. Have a $200,000 house. Have 500 acres of land. Friend, don't you understand you have to pay tax on that stuff? Have 500 acres of land. Have a new bass boat. Be a member of the country club. Have a brand new set of ping. I feel something on this. Have a brand new brownie. BDL. 700. For to me to live is. Have a brand new Harley. For me to live is. To drive a brand new Cadillac. Come here a minute. For to me to live is. You answer it. What are you living for? I'm going to tell you something. I'm closing. The older I get, the more I realize what that man stood up here and talked about ought to be the main thoughts of our lives. Our investments, our prayers, our service, for for me to live is. Can I tell you this? When I was in missions, I'm still in missions, by the way. Yeah. But when I was a missionary in missions with Macedonia, I live, slept, eat, and dreamt missions. I had one desire and one desire only, and that's to plant churches all over North America. And I got to see some of that done. I desired it. I lived it. For the middle of this, all them missionaries, I got to help. That's all I studied. That's all I thought about. Can I tell you something tonight? I go to bed tonight thinking about Northwood Baptist Church. I wake up thinking about Northwood Baptist Church. I get up in the morning thinking about Northwood. I'm pouring my life into that ministry. I love it. God put it in my heart. For to me to live is. Paul could say that because of his faith, because of his faithfulness, because of his fruit, because his future. Faith, the foundation of missions. Faithfulness, the furtherance of missions. Fruit, the fulfillment of missions. The future, the finality of missions. Live it. Sleep it. Bloom where you planted. Quit bucking. Quit trying to crawl off the altar. Tie to the altar this evening. Old Testament priests would come to them horns of that altar, tied to the altar. Some of you got, you're loose. You need to get tied. Living, sleeping. Paul's unusual request. What's your request? Let's stand together, please. Our Heavenly Father, as the musicians come tonight, Lord, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Oh, God, tonight, I want to thank you for letting me have the opportunity to put faith in you. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you let me have the opportunity to try to be faithful. I'm not as faithful as I ought to be, but I try to be. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you allow us to have fruit. Then I want to thank you tonight when those three things are real in our life, our future will be right. Paul said, for me to live is. And Lord, what is it in our lives tonight? There may be some that needs to come and bow around the altar tonight and get back on the altar, just being faithful, just blooming where you've put them. Just being faithful, staying by the task. Oh God, speak to our hearts tonight. Do that work that you so desire to do tonight. Lord, please do a work.